While priests have prayed together, I'm Karen Chamas.
Tropical storm Melissa lumbered through the Caribbean, bringing a risk of dangerous landslides and life-threatening flooding to Jamaica and southern Hispaniola. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
Give me my pizza right away. Daddy moved no long lines inside the place. Little Caesars, I love the taste.
Hotel ready.
Just come now, you don't have to call, now you don't have to wait.
Hotel ready.
Little Caesars is.
Hotel ready.
Little Caesars is.
Order today at Little Caesars Oaksfield, Carmichael, East Street South, Charles Sanders Highway, and our newest location in the Hive. Little Caesars, open ready.
Pizza, pizza.
School medicals don't have to be scary. At Premier Clinical Laboratory, our pediatric phlebotomy team makes every visit stress-free. Tiny arms get tender care. That's our promise. Visit us in Nassau on Collins Avenue, Carmichael and Prince Charles, and Freeport and Abaco with service to other islands. We accept NHI and private insurance. Call 325-2030 today. Premier Clinical Laboratory. Testing done right.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
As an athlete, I've learned that success isn't built on extras. It's built on the essentials. Strength, discipline, smart choices. That's why I'm proud to partner with Bahama Health to introduce Essential 300, a comprehensive health insurance plan that's all about covering what truly matters. Essential 300 is Bahama Health's most affordable major medical plan for groups and individuals. It offers access to a specialized network of care with essential benefits like preventative services. Because real strength starts with staying healthy. You may not be training for a race, but everyone deserves strong and affordable coverage with Essential 300. With Bahama Health, you can feel good about your health plan and protect what truly matters, your health.
For more information, call 396-1350 or visit www.bahamahealth.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Live off the record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas' first general insurance company, Burger King, City of Hope, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Marcos Pizza, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Lawrence Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same. You can call us on 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us also on 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, that's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So in the first hour of the show, I have a very special guest. She's been on the show before, not in the same capacity, but was a wonderful guest when she was there on the show then, and I look forward to talking to her now. Once again, we have a Free National Movement candidate joining us today, and none other than Mrs. Arinthia S. Kumalafe. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to your listening audience. It's a pleasure to be here today.
I'm a little mad with you, though.
It's been a long time, right?
It's been too long, man. That's not right.
I was thinking about it. I said, the last time I went on Mr. Lang's show, a first grader has probably graduated primary school.
And a seventh grader
has graduated high school.
I'm telling you, I had to wait till you become the candidate for the Fna Michael constituency to come and have a conversation.
Right.
We forgive each other.
absolutely. We had so many opportunities to talk, so many budget cycles, because that's what we usually used to talk about. But, you know, the future is still bright and long by the grace of God.
There you go. So you are the Free National Movement candidate for the Carmichael constituency. First of all, I mean, we know you are an experienced political figure by this time, having even yourself led a political party in the DNA. And we know you over the years relative to issues in the country. And so we know that your press for participation in matters of national development and public affairs has some tenure. But at this point in time in your life now, why the Free National Movement? Why Carmichael?
Well, I'll take the first one, the latter one first. And Carmichael, that one is very simple. You know, that is my home. Mm-hmm. That is where I grew mm-hmm. up. I moved to Carmichael, even though I went to school in the Bain and Grantstown area and lived in the Grove for a while. I moved to Carmichael at about the age of 9 or 10 in the Flamingo Gardens constituency, which is where my parents still reside today. And so I've lived in that community. I got married out of my parents' house in 2005. But I'm always there. I'm mm-hmm. constantly there. I'm always driving through the community because, of course, I keep very close relations with my parents. And that example of service, I say this all the time, especially when I talk about Carmichael, because when I moved there around about 1988, 1989, Mr. Frank Watson was the member of parliament there. And at that time, we fell in Adelaide, which was known as Adelaide. That's many, many, many years ago. Right. And he was the representative there. He used to be very active. And anybody who knows anything about politics know that he was a difficult opponent to go against because he pretty much had that area on lock. But despite his politics, he was always very active in the community, and he would come to a house, whether it was a PLP or FNM house. And of course, I grew up in a very strong PLP house. Being very active in the PLP, my parents, especially my mother. But many days he would come there and he would sit on the porch or sit inside a living room and they would discuss. I think what I was mostly impacted by was his community work there, because I had a lot of neighbors, like literally immediate neighbors, who was a part of his sporting program, for example, his tennis program, who went on to mm-hmm. become top tennis juniors in the country. And then they went on to get full ride scholarships at college in the United States. And a lot of them are mm-hmm. still over there now, functioning and operating and contributing to another nation because of the work that he put in there. And so For me personally, I always wanted to give back to my community and be a part of that. When I first took this journey in politics in 2017, you know, I was off in terms of offering for frontline. I've been active longer than that. But in terms of offering for frontline, I had ran in Killarney because that was where I lived. I felt it was good that you represent an area where you are and you can identify with the people and you know what their issues are. And you're there, you know, you're not a visitor there. You're a part of the community. And so that was my primary choice for that. But what I found with the Killarney constituency was that, of course, if you know the makeup of it, it's a very gated community. And for me, I wanted to go in a particular area where you can transform the area. Not to say that Killarney cannot be transformed, not to say that I didn't have a vision for it, but I'm a builder. So I like to take things, take them from one level to the next, and I'm a problem solver. Mm. And so for me, in my next stint, I ran in Carmichael. And so that is why I continue to remain with Carmichael, because it's my home. It's I'm not a visitor there, despite the fact that I don't live there. I still live in the Killarney constituency, but it will always be home to me. And so the same.
Continue. I thought you were done.
Oh, no. I just want to say the same opportunities that was extended to me, I want to be able to extend to the 6,000 plus registered voters there, but it's probably about 20 plus thousand residents there in Carmichael that I would like to be able to offer my service and just give back to a country that has given so much to me.
And the Free National Movement, why now?
Yes. So as you have already stated, I was the former leader of the Democratic National Alliance. And, you know, persons ask this question, you know, and of course, my political journey is open for everyone to see. As I already mentioned, I grew up in the PLP, so that was not a party that I joined, but it was a party that I grew up in. But, you know, you get to a certain point for yourself. And from I was in high school, I always knew that I was going to go off to college and I would come back and give back to my country. I didn't necessarily wanted to do it from a political standpoint, but it happened that that was the path that I took because I found out that I actually love politics. And I think while I was around politics all my life as a child, I think it was really sparked when I sat in Felix Bethel's class in College of the Bahamas in 1998, his government and politics class, which is an elective that I had to take. And that class really excited me and really wanted me to get involved inside the political process, but just because of the way that he delivered it. And, you know, and he introduced us to some persons at the time. I think at the time, Sir Randall was re-releasing his book, The Fate That Moved the Mountain. And I read that book and I was so inspired by it. You know, at that time, you know, we didn't really have much political literature around in the country. This was back in 1997, 98. And I think that really sparked my interest. But when I went off to school and had that exposure, went to England and came back, I realized that there was so much more that needed to be done in the country. And I felt that we could have, you know, better representation at the political level. And so I decided to become even more active in the political. But somewhere along the way, I made the decision to separate from the party that I grew up in. And I don't think we'd have time to discuss that here. I don't know that it's necessary. But I made the decision to do something new, try something new. Because in that season of my life, there was this statement that I used to hold on to that, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I assessed the road ahead of me and I thought, okay, I'm young. I'm in my late 20s. I'm in my 30s. You know, I can try to take this path. So at least I can say to myself and I can say to my children that I tried an alternative path, you know, and I'm that type of person. You know, I'm open to ideas. I'm open to moving against what is the norm. And so I took that path. And, you know, every time, you know, they say all of us who take that path of third party politics, we have a different level of crazy in us. You know, you have to have a different type of mindset to take that third party journey because it, you know, it takes a lot out of you. Is a lot, you have to invest in it. You have to be completely different from the two established organizations that are there, which is the case in most countries where you have a predominant two-party system. But, you know, I think what it did was it gave me the opportunity to be able to connect to people on the level that I love to, which is why I left the private sector, because I wanted to connect with the Bahamian people. And it causes you to be creative and innovative, because you have to really put forth those ideas that when you pay attention to the Bahamian people, you know what they want, you know what they're expecting. And so you have to sit down, be creative, and craft those policies. And I think that was the biggest part of the journey that I appreciated on that third party run. But the reality of that is that, of course, when you're in a system where the democracy is as advanced as we are, having been now independent for 50 plus years, but also where persons are for the most part set in their ways to vote either one particular way, that's just the reality of it. You're either going to vote for the FNM or you're going to vote for the PLP. And if you look at it from a practical and a logical standpoint, you continue to put resources, and then you ask yourself, are you putting those resources into a black hole? You're making a change with your advocacy, but are you able to make the change as best as you possibly can in the space that you are? And so when I stepped down in 2021, that was essentially what I said, that, and I brought up the example of the late Dr. Bernard Nottage, who, when he left the PLP and he started the Coalition for Democratic Reform, the CDR, he spent more money than I spent. You know, I spent plenty of my own personal money. And that's what a lot of people do not understand, that you're not spending other people's money. You're not spending public funds. You're spending your own funds. And I was doing that as a wife, as a mother, and somebody who was raising a young family, and you're carrying a party, and you're carrying the expenses of the party. You're carrying the load of the party. You're writing press statements. You're appearing on every talk show, TV and radio. And it becomes a lot taxing. And then you're responsible for writing the policy. You don't have the resources that the other major parties have in terms of personnel or institutional knowledge. And so that becomes very taxing. And I brought up Dr. Bernard Nottage at that time because he spent almost double-digit figures in the millions of dollars and still could not make an impact in the elections that he ran in under the CDR. And so when I resigned my post as the leader in 2021, I said very clear that I would be joining and aligning with one of the parties. And at the time that I was writing the speech, I knew it would be the Free National Movement for several reasons. One, because I had already sat with a spiritual advisor several years earlier, and I was already told about that path that was already predicted to come. When it would come is another thing, because, you know, sometimes you get a word, but sometimes the word is for a later period. The other reason was, too, I looked at it, Mr. Lang, from a practical standpoint, because, like I said, I'm a builder. I like to get things done. I like to see transformation. And when I analyzed both organizations, having had the benefit of being in the PLP, being a student of politics, and reading a lot of the accomplishments of both organizations, when you look at the accomplishments of the Free National Movement versus the Progressive Liberal Party over the last 20 to 30 years, more specifically, you see, I found that there was more development under the Free National Movement. And so this was an organization where it was more likely that I would get stuff done. And I also found that this was an organization that was more committed to good governance based on the legislation that was passed. So I can explain some of those things that I'm talking about, even if you're talking about infrastructure development, you know, the whole roads development, the building of docks or the dredging of the harbor that now accommodates some of the largest ships, the largest ships in the world. If you talk about things from a social standpoint and you look at the implementation of the National Drug Prescription Plan or unemployment benefits, or even if you wanted to talk about the Opportunity Society, where when with the Bahamas was moving toward divesting itself of assets or state-owned assets, that this wasn't just a case where the of these entities were going into the hands of foreign interests, but they were also opened and made available to Bahamians and ordinary Bahamians. You know, because if you remember the Arawak Port Development, Patelco, that Bahamians who were in the public service were extended loans to be able to purchase these shares in these companies that are valued so much now. And even the most latest development with the cruise port and how many Bahamians are benefiting from that. because that is an industry that is growing, but is also a particular business that is doing exceedingly well in the country now. And so when I looked, when I did the sum total, I thought this was a better place where I can be in terms of getting things done. But also the Free National Movement has a very strong history of just bringing different and divergent views together. Because when you really look at it, it was the Free PLP, and then later the UPP joined and became the Free National Movement, became the Free National Movement, and then the UPP joined. But then you had so many persons that led parties that have been a part of the Free National Movement, whether it was Salvo Turnquest, who came over from the NDP with Paul Adley, who then returned to the PLP, or whether it was the breakoff portion of the FNM that became the BDP, the Bahamas Democratic Party, but then absorbed back into the party, the SDP, members of the BDM who joined, and the Cassius Stewart several years ago, and just so many different...
And members of the CDR.
That's right, Charles Maynard and Fenton Namor. That's correct, and Doug Maynard, the late Dayton Maynard.
Yes, and Winston Pinnock and all of those, yeah?
That's correct. So
actually, let me say that yours has been a summary of things I have not heard. It's articulate, not that they could not, but they have not. But I do note this, though. You have a perspective that's unique in this regard, because you have people who are out there. Oh, it's just Peter no better than Paul. It's 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other. Y'all keep bouncing between these two parties. You keep doing the same thing, expecting the different results. The truth of the matter is no one could objectively and honestly look at the history of this country over the last 50 plus years and see the political changes and suggest you have gotten the same results each time.
Absolutely.
Is that true or not?
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
To suggest that the PLP changed the Eastern Roaders and we got the same result, that the FNM changed the PLP and we got the same result, is to either have lived so short a period of time in the Bahamas that you have no historical context, or you are just naive or unwilling to see the truth.
That's correct.
And you, therefore, having been a leader of the DNA, a third party, you get to be able to say, no, I carried that line for some bit too, but the truth is, here's what you see, right?
That's correct.
And so, when we come back, we got to take a break now, but when we come back from the break, let's talk a bit more about your candidacy and what you're looking forward to. I'm talking some about the country and what it is that you see, and so much more.
Okay, sure.
We're speaking with Rinthia Komolafe, the Free National Movement candidate for the Carmichael constituency. We'll be back after this break. If you feel like you've been down the same road,
tired of banks forcing you to use pay they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored effort. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Arinthia Komolafe, Free National Movement candidate for the Carmichael constituency, attorney and MBA and entrepreneur and community activist and leader, and the list goes on and on and on and on. I don't even, she could get embarrassed all she wants. She knows that I've said privately and I've said publicly that this lady has a great future in politics.
Yes, that's true.
I said it publicly, so don't make no sense to get mad at me. And just so you all know, you all say, oh, Lang only interviewing these FNM candidates. I told the PLP and the DNA and the COI that they are welcome to go and book the show. And so tomorrow we're gonna have the first PLP candidate. Oh, you are listening for that one. Tomorrow we will have a candidate for you from the Progressive Liberal Party. Okay. Madam Komolafe, when you look at the country today, right? What are the things that most concern you as a candidate, as a citizen, as a leader, an activist?
Well, I think the thing, Mr. Lang, is the things that I feared the most several years ago, I sort of see them coming to pass. And that was one of the reasons why I got involved in the process. And one of the things I want to speak to specifically is this dependent society. I think that we should be a lot further now than we are in terms of our economic development and including more Bahamians into the economic pie. But what I find more, and I wrote an article on this several years ago, and I asked this question. It was a rhetorical question, and I pretty much answered it in the article. Is the Bahamas a government society, or something along those lines was the topic, because more and more people were becoming dependent on government and the goodwill of government services and contracts from government than more and more people were moving toward the private sector. And that's unsustainable for any society, because everybody knows that the private sector, particularly the small engine portion of it, the small business aspect of it, is the engine of any economy. And you found, particularly in politics, well, politics was always transactional, but it's even more and more transactional, right? As a member of parliament to be, or a member of parliament, you're expected to take a lot more on of the citizens' concerns privately, whether that is helping with personal bills or whether that is assisting them with a good government job, which was always something that was a part of the transaction. But you used to get that in pockets, but it's becoming a lot more and more widespread, which is very concerning. And you can understand why people are moving in that vein, because it's hard to find opportunities in the private sector. I don't think we have diversified as much as we possibly can I also think we have an education system that is not complementary to the economic model that we have anymore. And so we have this conversation of whether people are equipped with the relevant skill set to even be able to just take on the basic jobs in the economy now, when that was a no-brainer 10, 15, 20 years ago. But that is not the case today. And so I'm starting to see where more and more people are looking forward to a job in the public sector because they find that to be the most securest way to be able to just get the basic necessities of life, to be able to feed their families, to be able to purchase a home, to be able to just give their children a good education or to have access to good healthcare. But even that is a dream that I think is slowly moving away from us. And so that is the fear that I said I'm talking about, that we are losing a grip or access to the Bohemian dream.
Interesting. So you think we are more dependent now in terms of more people being dependent on government? And let's be clear, not just people who are looking for jobs. You can, the people who now look to the government to sustain their businesses, whether that's some contractor in the construction field or some services provider of some sort or the other, that these, there are more people now who rely on that for their living and their prosperity than the private sector, and they that rely on private enterprise and private initiative and the private sector.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are more people, and to your point, not just jobs, but there are more people who are looking for contracts. And so the victory of a political party is more tied to that. And there are persons who are not even involved in the political process who are looking forward to that, because as I canvass the streets, and I've been canvassing, I've been in politics now, like frontline politics canvassing for almost two decades. And I've been able to witness the transition and the evolution of the way our politics is as it relates to ground politics. But you have, when I walk on the ground, you can have an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old say, "Job, I want to get inside." I said, "So why is your first thought process to get a good government job? I mean, that's good if you want to be a public servant and give back to society, but is that why?" No, man, that's the most secure thing. And, you know, so they start to talk about the fact that this is the way that they're going to be able to feed their loved ones. This is the way that they're going to be able to survive. So I said, well, why aren't you thinking about becoming an entrepreneur? Why aren't you thinking about making light for yourself or creating a path for yourself? And they talk about all the roadblocks that are there and the challenges and to why they're not prepared to do that. But, you know, I don't even think they feel that the system is built for them to be able to do that. And what we're finding in Carmichael, for example, the young people between the age of 18 to 25, which is another concerning issue for me, the registration of those persons are very low. So there are about 14 polling divisions in Carmichael. And if we've divided in our analysis, we've divided our numbers up into age groups, and we have an 18 to 25 block. And Mr. Lang, I'm not exaggerating, but if you can find 50 persons registered in each polling division in that age category, you can find a lot. The registration for that age category is very low. And so we're finding persons on the ground who are in their mid-20s, late-20s, they've never registered before. Or they've registered, but they've never voted. And you ask them, why haven't you voted? An 18 or a 19-year-old says, anybody can do nothing for me anyway. Everybody for themselves, they all the same. I said, well, how can you say everybody is the same when you just arrived? You haven't even really experienced living under government as yet. You don't even really understand how government works and how government impacts your life.
Because they get to echo what many times the adults are telling them.
Exactly.
In the same transactional politics that you talked about. I mean, again, politics is a transaction for sure. Now, where the transaction seems to have transformed is it has transformed from being a community collective transaction to being an individual egoic transaction.
Exactly.
So now it's about me and what I got, as opposed to what we and our community got. And that seems to be the difference.
That is exactly it. And that is what is concerning for me, because when you get a society that moves away from that community aspect of things, or how we can come together and do things for the benefit of all, then it starts to impact your communities, and then it spreads over into your overall society. And so
we don't lead that way. We don't seem to lead that way. I mean, like, when it fits us, when it suits us politically, we have this rhetoric of we and us and them. But the truth of the matter is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I didn't experience this when I was canvassing many times, we go and talking to people, and we try to make deals with individuals as opposed to make deals with communities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. Because that's another thing that you're experiencing. And so if you are a new politician on the ground, or if you're somebody trying to get in, that's what you're going to hear too. Man, they make all them promises to me, cut all these deals, and then you can't see them afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so there's a trust deficit, because mm-hmm. people did negotiate deals that they never had the capacity or intended to make good on. That has also impacted the level of commitment or interest of persons who are in the voting population to want to support a particular person when they come forward, because they tell you, man, we heard that before. And so what you find is that, and I saw this from two elections ago, but it's worse now. You have to do a lot of counseling on the ground, you know, and you have to convince persons that, hey, and I tell people, this is what I say to people. We are all human. So you're subject to be disappointed by somebody who made a promise or a commitment to you and didn't follow through on it, right? Now, I try to take the voter out of that feeling of disappointment and frustration and take them back to the wider view, the macro view, to say, look, you have children, you have grandchildren. Your children and your grandchildren have the access to healthcare system. You are going to have the access to healthcare system. I tell young people today, too, you might not be worried about healthcare today, but in 2-3 decades, God spares your life, you're going to be concerned about healthcare. You're going to be concerned about education. You're going to be concerned about pension. So you cannot sit down for 4, 5, 10 years and say, I'm not going to participate in the political process, or I'm going to, because John Doe disappointed you, or Mary Doe disappointed you. You have a commitment to sit down and see who you are going to support and make your voice known so that you can have access to the services that you are entitled to. It is not something, the member of parliament is not entitled to pay this bill or pay that bill. If they do that, they do it out of the goodness of their heart. They do it because they understand your challenge. But one thing you could hold their feet to the fire for is that they are entitled to give you good services and to see to it that the government gives you good services in terms of the road maintenance, the parks maintenance, the lighting and the security of the community, and how things are functioning in the services that you are going to have to take advantage of or access, like healthcare and social services or national insurance. And so we try to take them out of that micro mindset into the macro mindset and see if we can come back to the common good of all while still trying to meet their individual and personal need. And so, but that takes a lot of counseling.
Yeah. When we come back from the break, I wanna ask you about that further, because it's such an important point. But we're gonna take a break and then we'll come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, and we are talking with Arinthia Komolafe, Free National Woman candidate for Carmichael constituency. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer.
So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Attention pizza lovers! Markle's is getting bigger and better! We're offering a deal that can't be missed! Head in and order a mouth-watering large one-topping pizza for just $10! You heard right, just $10! This offer is only available at our Southwest Burnett Road, Robinson Road, and Prince Charles locations. Call in or order in restaurant today! This amazing carryout offer is available for a limited time only!
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking right now with the Free National Movement's candidate for the Carmichael constituency, the one and only Orinthia Komolafe. We're talking about issues, many issues. And one of them she brought up was this tendency we have to see politics in a me and I, myself way. We are not leading on the national level, on the community level, it seems, toward the collective. It's about you. I'm trying to do something for you, find you a job, get you a house, get you a contract, get your children a scholarship, etc. And the other collective things kind of just are the wayside a lot. I saw that myself in our politics, and to be honest, the people themselves are not altogether to blame. This is the way the politics has been played and allowed to be played. And as Orinthia, you said, it requires now some counseling on the ground and some guidance from people. I've been there, done that, get cussed, call arrogant, call mean, and so forth. Because and people say, man, you ain't trying to help nobody. No, I ain't trying to give you. I ain't trying to give you $60 you want right now for something personal. But there is a community center I established, a scholarship program I established, a computer program I established, but that don't matter. It's a bad MP.
Wow.
And of course, Madam Komolafe, I wanted to mention this and ask you about this. The biggest part of the job, a lot of times people don't really give regard to. Because they say, you ain't doing nothing for the community, but you elected me to be in the House Assembly. You don't see me in there dealing with them laws and dealing with them resolutions and so forth and so forth. You ain't, none of that matters.
That's the thing. And what people, when you ask, what is the role of the MP? That is the principal role there. The principal role is to advocate for better constituents for which they represent. And you can do that on multiple levels. Of course, the first level in the constituency, not to say that this is the first before all levels, but you have to ensure that at least the environment that your constituents are living in is safe, that they have opportunities where they are able to function and have recreation. So you're talking about the upkeeps of parks, which is an issue in Carmichael, because the parks are not kept well. And then you talk about the upkeep of the roads and being able to agitate whether you're lobbying the government or the minister to be able to come there and to fill pothole needs. Another issue that is becoming an issue that used to be centralized just in one particular area, for the most part, we knew, for example, Pinewood to be a heavy flooding area. Well, that's becoming an island-wide issue. And in Carmichael, the disaster after Tropical Storm Imelda was just absolutely amazing. I've never seen it before in all my years in Carmichael. We knocked on doors and person said they've never seen it like that before. We were walking and wading through 3, 4, 5 inches of water. Persons were coming out of their doors to 4 or 5 inches of water. That means we do not have an adequate drainage system or maintenance system to be able to handle the challenges that we would face if we want to call it climate change or whatever the case it is. At the end of the day, all the way to November 30th, we're going to have some serious weather and we enter into a rainy season that as we continue to expand as a nation and as a population, and of course, there's been a lot of expansion in the Southwest area and on that Carmichael corridor, a lot of things have not been upgraded or developed with it. So whether it's the plumbing and the sewage system, because people have a pollution problem too with the sewage, or whether it's the drainage system, or whether it's the maintenance of the roads or the maintenance of the parks, these are the challenges that people are faced with every day. So those are the issues that members of parliament should be troubleshooting. And then at the legislative level, you would be there and you would be advocating for laws that make their lives better because you have issues that people are raising, whether it's relative to health care, education, pension, whatever the case may be, those are issues that need to be litigated and lobbied for at the parliamentary level. And if you're fortunate to function at the executive level, you have even more power and even more authority to help people's lives to be better. So I think those are the essential roles and responsibilities of members of parliament. And then, of course, you do all the other little, what they call, the soft skills type stuff. You got to be this place and the next place. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the politicking part.
The ceremonial stuff.
Correct.
Because leaders represent their groups. This says, this text says, good afternoon. I live in Bel Air Estates community near the park. The recent storm had dumped plenty of water in this area. I was very impressed when I heard my doorbell ring and noticed Mrs. Komolafe and a gentleman from the FNM there checking on me. She had to walk through the almost knee-deep water to get to my door. She is covering a lot of grounds in this area, and I know she will be very successful in becoming the Member of Parliament for Carmichael constituency, says that text. We have another text.
Thank you,
Doctor. Good day, Mr. Lang, excellent guest. And God's willing, the next MP for Carmichael, kindly inform your guests tomorrow that FNM's candidates take and answer the public phone calls on the show. The guests tomorrow didn't tell me they wouldn't take no calls or anything like that. So no, we don't have that condition attached as far as I'm aware. Also, I must have said Wednesday at least once today. I thought when I started, I said Thursday though. But if I say Wednesday, no, today is Thursday. Today is Thursday. Child, tomorrow is Friday.
Correct.
We have to take a break for news, Madam Komolafe. But if you are able, if you can hold on till after the news break, we have a couple more questions to ask. And is that okay?
Okay, sure, no problem.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll reach out. Mind you, I just getting all kind of breaking news from people that Alukaya has had their power cut off by the power company for outstanding payment and all this kind of stuff. I'm only telling you what's been reported to me. on from several sources, some of which I regard as reputable. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio on 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where I'm speaking with Arinthia Komolafe, Free National Movement candidate for the Carmichael constituency. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, the Family Island people, the politics is interesting, you know, because sometimes you're in Nassau and you think the people in the Family Islands don't have no impact or part to play on your electability or election in Nassau or vice versa. The truth of the matter is, I was campaigning in Marco City. I went to one section of Marco City. And you know, the person tell me, say, boy, you know, plenty of Androsian lives around here, boy. So you got to make that connection with Andros.
Exactly. It's a melting pot now.
Exactly. this text says, good afternoon. Ms. Komolafe will make an excellent MP. She has a great grasp of the issues and has what it takes to address them. Michael will be well served with her as their MP, says that text. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, I'm from Carmichael, and that's my MP. She is working very hard, and she will win. Now, Madam Komolafe, if I'm not mistaken, Carmichael borders Golden Isles, no?
No. So Carmichael border on the eastern border is Golden Gates and the western border is Southern Shores.
I knew it was a golden.
Yes.
It's Golden Gates, not Golden Isles.
That's correct.
Because I was just going to ask you, these folks are saying you go in and Carmichael, and Deputy Prime Minister say Michael Pintard is running scared because the reality is setting him because they are going to win. Now, I am not sure that the FNM is contesting that by-election. I heard from the Secretary General on a show that they have a ratified candidate. They never say that they are going to contest. They always, in answer to the question, they say, we have a ratified candidate and we are locked and ready to go.
That's correct. We haven't heard anything from the leader yet. Okay. So once we hear from the leader, then, you know, we're not going to preempt that.
Okay. I thought that there was something diplomatic about the answer when I heard it, but I knew it didn't definitively say that the FNM would contest the seat. But what are you hearing in Carmichael as you move about?
I think one of the biggest challenges that the persons expressed there is the absence of the incumbent member of parliament and the challenges that they are facing around. Of course, we talked about some of the things where you promise stuff and not deliver. So we have gotten a lot of that from persons who said that they've been promised things and those promises have not been delivered upon. Now, I've told persons when we knock on the door, in fact, I have a hashtag slogan, no promises, just results, you know, because the saying tells you a promise is a comfort to a fool. You know, my intention is just to go in there and to work and to do the things that need to be done. And we have started working already even before we get there, because you have to show a level of goodwill as well to persons who have, like I said, they have this trust deficit. But those are some of the challenges there with the absence of the member of parliament, the lack of upkeep of the parks. The parks are really in terrible condition there in the Carmichael constituency. And that was not something that was done under the previous administration, the FNM administration. The parks were in better condition. And there are some room attendants too, and some areas that need some lighting. But there's also this issue, like I said, of the flooding that, as we are in this season, is going to be an issue that persons are going to have to deal with until we come up out of that season. But those are some of the main things that persons are having there. And then you have this overall issue that people talk about, whether that's the cost of living crisis or whether that's the immigration crisis, even though the prime minister doesn't recognize it as a crisis, but it is, in fact, one. Those are some of the overall issues that we have there. I want to raise this issue there, too, though, that it's happening in a particular polling division 12 in Carmichael, and there are some houses that are being built there, some new construction that has taken place there. And some of the persons in the area have expressed the issue of the land of where those properties are being built, or sorry, where the buildings are being built on the property. They have expressed concerns about that being a sinkhole because persons have not developed on those properties for some time. And so it would be interesting to see the environmental report on that particular project. And then I think the main question a lot of people have around there as well, too, is who got the bid for the contract to build those homes? Was it a Bahamian contractor? And is it Bahamian labor that are building those homes? Because the reports that are coming out of there is that they're not giving it to be Bahamian labor. And we have done some investigations ourselves. Yeah, so we've done some investigations ourselves. Now, the persons who are there may be work permit persons, but the question I would have to those of us who are taxpaying Bahamian citizens, why would we have projects that are being built by taxpayers' dollars, presumably, that is being carried out by persons who are not Bahamians?
Let's clarify something. You don't mean that there is a Bahamian, a foreign contractor who's doing the building. You mean there may be foreign labor being used to build for a Bahamian contractor, because unless it's specialty construction, that's an area reserved for Bahamians.
Correct. Now, I'm not saying that it's a foreign contractor, because we cannot say definitively, and that is why I'm asking the question. How did the procurement process go to be able to construct those homes? How was it open and fair? And we know this current administration is not the type of administration that has open and fair bidding processes. In fact, they have admitted themselves to contravention of the law on procurement. So we want to know, who are the contractors? Are they Bahamians? And was it a requirement and a stipulation in those contracts that there be 100% Bahamian labor? Because we've been building houses in housing developments for decades. So there are Bahamians here that can build houses. And so my question would be, who are the persons that are working on those projects? But more specifically, to raise the concern of the rents livable. Will they be livable? Will they be livable in 10, 15, 20 years? Are the residents going to have problems with them insofar as flooding is concerned, insofar as structural concerns, even with the foundation, because of what residents are saying they believe to be sinkholes in that area? So I think that that is a concern that is coming strongly out of one of our polling division areas, polling division number 12, off of St. Vincent Road. It's actually in between St. Vincent and Cowpen Road. So those are some of the major issues there that persons are raising from a community level. And then when you really zero in and you knock on the doors and you talk to persons, We have a lot of uniform branched officers in the community as well. And there's another incident where there's a contravention of the law, an open contravention of the law by the government. For example, for members of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force who have reached retirement age and they're on pension and they are not getting their full pensions in the way that it should be calculated. And there is some discrepancy there. So we've come across a lot of that with uniform branch personnel, not just on the Defense Force side of things, but also on the police force side of things. And a lot of issues relating to pensions, because Carmichael is an aging, it has an aging population, is a very old community. And so there are a lot of persons who are at retirement age or near retirement age. In fact, I would say more than 50% of the constituency is at or near retirement age in terms of the voting population. And so, of course, the concerns of cost of living and the high cost of electricity and the high cost of food and the high cost of gas are things that are prevalent when we go to the doors and when we knock on the doors, because the little pension that they are receiving, whether they are ex-public servants or whether they were in the private sector but not working for a company that had a pension program, the little funds that they are receiving is being sucked right back out from them by paying these high electricity bills, despite the fact that the administration said that they would, you know, reduce those bills or bring lower light bills.
We have quite a number of callers holding on, so let's get some of them in. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, hi. We're listening to you.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Good, good, good.
All right, Ms. Kumalafe, it's good to have you on the air. It's a breath of fresh air to hear someone with such great visions and someone that aspired to be great leader in the FNM party. We love you, and we know that you will be the next member of parliament for the constituency of Carmichael under the Free National Movement if they win. But I just want to share this one thing with you, Ms. Kumalafe, because you hit on a few things. We have not heard from the COI concerning the ratification of their people. I mean, I haven't heard. Am I right or wrong?
Hello? I'm not exactly sure in process with candidates.
Okay, so my question to you is, with the COI, and then you know the difficulties that the DNA had, you think that a new party like that, with only one person that I know that has been a candidate before, which is the one who came over from the FNM, do you think they have the experience to lead this country if they were to get in as the government? I'll hang up and listen to the conversation.
Well, the thing that I would say to that is I would rather more put my energy in saying why I believe that the Bahamian people should be focusing on the Free National Movement as the alternative party to be able to take hold of the government in the next general elections. And it's simply because of some of the points, the fact that we just don't have any leadership here. We don't have any leadership in the country as it relates to governance. We don't have any vision. I don't know if you all recall, but before the late Loftus Roka passed, he himself was quoted in the papers as saying that we are lacking leadership in this country. And we are lacking leadership at the government level. And he said that during the watch of this current administration, and that is still the case. We do not know where we're going. And the people need to know exactly where we're going. The PLP is very busy at doing a lot of stuff, but there's not a lot of things that is getting done because Bahamians and the crunch of a lot of the challenges that they're facing, even in their personal lives on a macro level. And I've already touched on a lot of those points, whether it's relating to the high cost of living insofar as it relates to just putting food on your table for your family or stealing from Peter to pay Paul to meet these very high electrical bills that we are dealing with inside the country. And so I just think I would rather like to focus on getting the FNM elected. And I think that we have the team and the leadership to be able to do that, as well as the vision. I'm very excited about the plans that the party has already rolled out insofar as how we are going to bring relief to the Bahamian people, but more specifically, the vision that we have moving forward to be able to move the country and the Bahamian people forward.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good day, Mr. Lang, and good day to your guest, Ms. Koma Laffey. I'm a former resident of Carmichael area and the member of parliament there, Mr. Bell. You never see him. I just moved out recently, year before last. Right. So you touched on something earlier where you said about the foreigners with the construction of the homes and government contracts that has been given out at area. Ms. Koma Laffey, you know, as we can remember, he was in the church giving out some sort of citizenship papers. So that's one tier to deal with them. But I want to also say that he also just said recently that the elections is going to be a nasty one. So, Mr. Lang, maybe we can adorn her and remind her to take him to task with Janet Jackson's songs about those nasty boys and use that as a theme. Okay? You beat him with that. Because with the report today by the Auditor General in reference to how they...
I need you to ask your question, though, because I have a number of people still waiting, please.
That's the last thing I have to say. You know, with the Auditor's Guinness Administration, with the food during the pandemic, which is rather egregious, say that they can't even keep the kitchen open in the hospital. Family members may go. So I want you to, you know, do not ease up with him and deal with that. That's my contribution towards you, and you try and do your best. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Was that a question to you? Was Koma Laffey?
But he was telling me to keep their feet to the fire. So I will certainly be doing that.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Ms. Koma Laffey.
Do we have another caller on the line?
Hello, yeah. Mr. Lang. Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. You know, I enjoy listening to this lady. She's polymorphic. I something she said, and I'm hoping that Debbie Deal or Mr. Leonard Sands is listening and they would call in as it relates to the legality of contractors and the licensing and thereof and the implementation of some legislation that they were saying that was enacted but not being enforced as it relates to these contracts that Ms. Koma Laffey was alluding to. Now, for me, I'm actually seeing that here where I live, a few corners down. I'm seeing it, all right, as the issue of the contract. Now, the problem for me is I just like to make this quick statement and for you or not to opine, given that you was in politics, right, Mr. Lang. So I would have noticed and everybody would have noticed that up to the run-up of the elections, there seems to be a gormandizing of the tax funds to contracts here, contracts there, contracts everywhere for political dupes, affiliates, et cetera, et cetera. And so for me, it's kind of sickening at my age, the Treasury being abused and used against the citizens itself. So is there any way for us to implement laws that during the run-up of the election, given 6 months, whatever, a year, that the government be more scrutiny in spending? Because it's really, for me, it's a throwaway and abuse of the taxpayers' funds. This is what I see at my age. So just opine to me, because this is personal. And this is what I hate. I don't like it. It stinks.
Good question. Let me let Ms. Koma Laffey answer it.
Yeah, and this is why I said earlier, when in terms of making the decision, why the FNM versus the PLP, you need a good governance platform, you need a good governance structure, you need an administration and a group of people that are committed to transparency and accountability in government. If you have the proper legislation in place, the Freedom of Information legislation, the Integrity Commission legislation, and if you actually have persons that are not criminally minded, but minded to follow the law, which is on the books, for example, the procurement laws, then you wouldn't have to be asking these questions because the checks and balance would be in place. But the challenge that we have is that we have persons who are not minded to follow the law. So you can only say that they are criminally minded. And these persons should not be allowed to continue to lead the country. Because if you are breaking up, people beneath you are supposed to be doing. And then we get to a place of lawlessness and almost to a condition of anarchy where people are just doing what it is that they want to do. And that is not beneficial for society.
What would you cite as not following the law, breaking the law on the part of the government?
So when we talk about procurement, for example, and you're talking about the bidding of contracts and being able to ensure that that process is very open and transparent, and that is not being done. That is an indirect contravention of the law, right? Because the reason you do that is so that people have the opportunity, everybody has the opportunity, you're not just your cronies and to nepotism or your friends, family, and your lovers, but all Bahamians who have the capacity to be able to take advantage of those opportunities can do so. And we ourselves too, who want to be gatekeepers or persons who want to ensure that we are upholding the highest integrity in our country, we should be able to go there and have that information at our fingertips as well and know that, okay, hey, our government is doing this. And we, you don't necessarily need to know.
Notwithstanding that the Free National Movement was in power for four years before that and did not, they passed the thing, put the commission in place, but didn't make sure we had a four-year actually administrating.
Exactly why it has to be done now. And persons would have spoken about it back then. You understand? And as our leader has continued to say, and as persons out there saying, well, the leader just said recently, right, the Free National Movement is under new management. And so this new management must be committed to the things that the Bahamian people want, which is transparency and accountability. You want to be able to have that in your society because it'll all go well for all of us in the long run. If we continue to run this society just for the few and not for the majority, then we're not going to have a country left tomorrow. And that's just the actual facts. And that is why I said at the beginning of this conversation why I got involved in the process, because the thing that I fear can come upon us. You know, now I could sit down in my private silos and I could continue on with my life and I will be all right by the grace of God. But there are tens and thousands of Bahamians who are losing access to the simple things in life. The access to what I call the Bahamian dream, whether that's a healthcare, job opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities, housing. These things should be accessible to Bahamian if you create the environment. But if we are siphoning the funds and those funds are funds of a small few and we're building more oligarchic structures in our society or a society where there's a monopoly among a small few of people, then the majority at the bottom are going to fail. They're not going to be able to succeed. And so these legislation and laws provide, they serve as checks and balance to ensure that the taxpayers' funds that are being collected are used for the collective good of the majority.
We have two more minutes left for this interview. I think we have another caller on the line. Caller, you have to make it quick, and then Madam Kumalafi, you can respond and wind up and go from there. We have a caller on the line?
Yeah, a pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and good afternoon, Madam Kumalafi. You know, I just want to wish you all the best in your aspiration to become a member of parliament. But, you know, I just want to piggyback on something that you said earlier about the employment of so-called foreign labor. And I think one of the reasons why employment is at 10 cents is because of that same reason. I know for a fact that there's a so-called medical facility being built in my constituency, and I know for a fact that foreign labor is being used, and I question that because there are people in my constituency job, and I'm being told that while the grass is growing, the cow is starving, and you know, and that has to be changed because I told them that Bahamian should be the beneficiary of their money's first before any other ethnic. You know, so I just
absolutely,
you know, these things with the pit and all. And one other thing is that, you know, we keep going around in circles. I think we, when Mr. Christie started the plan, ministers would take it further.
You know, my 2 minutes be 2 minutes.
Okay, so we natural movement.
You know, my 2 minutes be 2 minutes, right? Thank you, sir. Ma'am, you wanna say your final words? I know I'm gonna get you come back, but
Yes, yes, I have to come back, Mr. Langan. Yes, yes, sir, I have to come back, and I'll come back and expand some more on the plans and the vision that we have for Carmichael. But I appreciate the time here, and again, like I said, I look forward to when we can have an exchange again.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, and all the best, ma'am. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live on Shabbat Line, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money. At work.
There is a new king in town, and the only place to find him is at Burger King Nassau. Introducing the Cheesy Ring King, featuring two juicy flame-grilled beef patties stacked with American cheese, crisp bacon, sweet barbecue sauce, honey mustard, and the crown jewel. Three golden mozzarella rings served on a soft, buttery brioche bun. It's bigger, it's better, and it's cheesier. Want just cheese rings? They're available as a side too. Get the Cheesy Ring King at any of Burger King Nassau's seven locations. Available for a limited time only.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Are we in, producer? I'm up. Do we still have callers on the line? No callers on the line? I know some of you were waiting to speak with Mrs. Komolafe, and others of you were, had your text, but you know, we do have some time limits on the sponsored interviews, and I don't want to get myself in any problems when we have all of the parties, I expect, may wish to come and be interviewed, and so we want to try and stick to our agreements. Okay. Uh, So I can read some of your texts. Some of your texts for that you would have been sending, but I don't know if you can get an answer, because it's not now here. Some of you said, I'm not a constituent in Carmichael, but I'm a woman and I support Kumalafe's accession to Parliament. No promise, only action. Act no promise, only action, says that text. This text says, hey, Zhivago, as far as I'm concerned, people like Ms. Kumalafe are not stable people politically. She is a traffic light. She was yellow, and when things didn't go her way, she went green. And when that didn't work out, she hopped to this general elections, and things don't go the way she expects. What color you think the turn she can turn? As for voters to decide what they will do about her, and then she has a choice, as you have a choice, right? It says, only a nasty person would want, say, and predict a nasty election. Playing in the mud is what they like. Playing in the mud is what they like. I don't understand that, actually. I don't understand quite that. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, how are you doing? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. What's up?
Okay. So, while Ms. Kumalafe was on, she was talking about some things that are very important. And one thing is transparency on leadership. And I'm talking about the top to the head. There was a travel budget for $500,000 for the prime minister to travel for a full year. That in 6 months turned into $2 million. These are irresponsible spending in the rest of the other ministries. So these are things that we need to look into. Thank you, sir.
All right. I appreciate you calling. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I support those persons who lament the non-absence of the incumbent member of parliament for Carmichael. Even without rain, some of us experienced flooding because of the backed-up drainage system. We called Keith Bell to complain about it, but didn't get any answer. We've even gone to his constituency office and left a message for him to return a call, but he never did. It's so unfortunate that we only see these people once every 5 years when they show up to ask for votes. That's not true for everybody now, so don't say that. Man, I see members of parliament who advertise office hours, who show events they're doing in their constituencies. And so I don't think it's fair to say that all across the board, these people, okay? Unless you reference specifically somebody, but that wasn't how you phrased it. It says, good afternoon, Zeke. Can your guest say whether those homes are being built as a government project? I think what she was talking about was government project homes. Otherwise, why mention the procurement process, right? So government homes. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Parliament would be blessed to have an MP like Mrs. Kumalafe sitting there. She is a very intelligent woman, and I believe she will represent the women them very well in Parliament and in Cabinet, wishing her all the best in her bid to become the next member of Parliament for the Carmichael constituency. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang. Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. You see, Mr. Hi. Lang, these members of parliament, members who want to run for parliament and MPs, really believe we are the behemoth out here. We don't know them. We don't know what is what. When they were green, yellow, it was all right. When it was green, they say there's a better leader, they have better leadership than the party, the man who was running for the yellow and the red. They said it was a better plan and better leadership that these two parties was no good. Now, all of a sudden, that bears up her leadership. She had once had been, she was agreeing. Where is it now? Now she's saying somebody else is a better leadership. Man, you can't be unstable, man. You got to be straight. You understand me? Thank you.
Thank you for calling. I hear you. Do we have another caller on the line? No, not another caller. All right, producer, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live, I'm Shavar, and your host. We'll be back after this final break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
In the face of not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for these remaining moments of the show. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, you know, the caller called just now, he was being critical of Mrs. Komolafe, having been at the DNA and then with PRP DNA and the FNM, and he says, when you're with that party, everything is good. When you're with the other party, then everything is good, and then everything is bad with the other party. But I wonder how that caller would view things that happen the other side, because Vaughn Miller, the late, was with the FNM, joined up with the PLP. He would have been one of those who would have been critical of the PLP when he was in an FNM, the FNM, and then joined the PLP and, you know, would have, I'm sure, had some critical notes about the FNM. People change their affiliations and they come to accept and believe in the causes that they have. Hubert Ingram was a PLP chairman, became the FNM leader. Cecil Wallace Whitfield was a PLP cabinet minister, became the FNM founder, one of them. So the notion that I have to be one thing all my life, and if I'm another thing, that makes me some hypocrite or someone, and it's absolute nonsense. That's to suggest that you are nothing more than a robot, an unthinking human being that should sit in anything, no matter what happened to you at any given time, or so forth. I don't buy that at all. I mean, either somebody is at the moment a person you want to support or you don't. Don't give me this. You was green, you was yellow, you was red. At one point in time, almost everybody in the Bahamas was yellow. Right? And then turned to something else. Formed the CDR, went back to the PLP. Perry Christie was PLP, went independent, went back to the PLP. Huh? When people come over, you love them. When they leave, you hate them. What does that mean? It says, hello, Lang. Keith Bell said that it will be a nasty election. Oh, I see. Miss Komolafe on the like Wayne Monroe is taking a strong position as a strong behaving woman. Tell the tax something. Go and check what Wayne Monroe may have to say after some accusations about high ranking politicians going around. Okay. I don't know. You always have in elections some nasty things happen. Like you can't say the whole election nasty, but nasty things happen. So I don't know if there's any revelation that this could be a nasty election. And many times, I greet somebody, many times when you hear people saying it can be nasty, watch out. Watch out for them. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, you answered that question very well. I really couldn't do a better job, but I would attempt to say that, guess what? We're all going to be black soon, even though I think they are white. They perhaps don't want you look at them in the coffin when they turn black. I work with one of them, so I see how they go black. So we're going to be black soon. And forget about all these colors, man. Mr. Lang, I want you to address this question of voters, are PLP, FNM, and what percentage are swing voters? Can you help me with that?
Well, I think what we've seen over the years is the FNM and the PLP have never gotten votes in any election less than 35% to 40% between the two of them. Like each party, whatever number of people voted, they have never gotten less than 30% of those votes. Mm-hmm. So let's say, and sometimes they've gotten 50%, as much 50 plus percent. So let's say 50%? The two of them, they've gotten on one, they have gotten popular support from sometimes, I don't know the PLP, but I know the FNM's 50-something percent, right? But so let's say combined, they both capture at least 60% of the voters that vote.
That's 70 marks. So we get 30% swing voters then.
Well, yeah, okay, you could say that. Yeah, people who are prepared to vote one way or the other.
I thank you so very much, Mr. Lang. You're doing a wonderful job.
I try my best. Thank you. Thank you, friend. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you doing, sir?
Right here, man. How are you?
Oh, God has been great, man. I mean, there's nothing to complain about. Ms. Komolafe, how you doing?
No, she's gone. I'm sorry. She's gone.
Oh, she left already. You know, Mr.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't. She didn't leave. We had a sponsored show, and so the time allotted was surpassed.
oh, okay, you know, I listen to the person's trying to be critical with her, you know. And I think, like, she needed to pay that no mind. Don't give that no chance.
Come on, this politics. People should criticize you. This is politics. Yeah. People should challenge you, and they should be, if they don't agree with you on some scores, they should be critical of that thing they don't agree with you on. So that's just par for the course.
You know, I understand that, but, you know, Ms. Komolafe is a part of a movement. You know, Mr. Lang, this movement is so critical and it's so needed in our country. Our country is just going, like, you know, going on a crash course. And to see, like, persons like Ms. Komolafe and the leader of the Free National Movement would commit themselves to service, that is something what my soul is dancing for, sir.
She's a very capable person. I don't have any doubt she can answer, speak to any issue, challenge put to her.
Yeah, she's an excellent person, and I think that's what we need. And to see that she would commit herself to that service is excellent, and that's something that the country will move forward with. So.
I appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Shivago, good afternoon to you.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Right here, my brother. I tried to call in when Mrs. Komolafe was there, and I know that she's still listening to this program. And so, you know, being that she was the leader of the Democratic National Alliance at one time, and of course, I was like a general, and still am a general of the Democratic National Alliance, I just want to encourage her, in particular to stay the course, because the dynamics of the Bahamas is changing. The old guard is marching, and it's really refreshing to see what the new guard is going to do for the Bahamas in order, in the purview of how we advance the country forward, upward and onward, instead of just looking at personalities and so on and so forth. In saying that, Shivago, my thing is looking futuristically. I want to see what they're going to do with the new, and perhaps this is something that needs to happen, where we get the new persons who are vying for these political parties to come on the political stage on a platform and actually answer some of the more critical questions that the populace may have, seeing that the old is marching and the new guard is coming in. I think we want to have some type of vision of where the Bahamas is going and what they perceive in wanting to assist the Bahamas to achieving in order to advance the Bahamian people and the country forward in prosperity. These are the things that we want to hear. My last point here to say is simply this. You know, right now I'm very dissatisfied with what I see going on in this country. It is sad to say, and I'm going to be very public with this one, that when you see a party that is supposed to be the standard bearer for the Bahamas and the Bahamian people, failing the Bahamian people on so many aspects, especially bringing prosperity financially for the Bahamian people, I think that our country is in a very serious, dark place that we need to start to pull ourselves through. We have Singapore for an example. We have Dubai for an example, where the people are living quite comfortably in their country. Yes, the poor will always be among us, but to see the people thriving with a sense of comfort and peace, this is what the average Bahamian in this country wants, and we are not experiencing that right now.
I got you. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you calling. We have one more call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Lang, how are you, sir?
I am right here, my friend. What's going on?
Good, I'm here. Listen to me. How long do you think you have to be in an organization, whether it be politics, whether it be church, whether it be a club, before you find out that you're in the wrong place? What makes you find...
I don't understand. What do you mean, how long?
No, what I'm saying, what would make you say that, listen, this isn't the party I think I should be a part of? Would it be because you don't get...
Would it be
because you don't get a nomination? Would it be because you are voted out of the position?
There could be a number of reasons. The reality is a number of people running in this election for the PLP, running in this election for the FNM, and running into this election for CIDIA, DNA, are running in the places they're running because they couldn't get the place they wanted to run for the party they wanted to run in. That's a reality on both sides. Sometimes you could go to a party and the leader says some things and you think to yourself, sitting right there, I'll never be a part of this. Never. Let me tell you something. When I was a young man, my mother was a PLP, sent me to a young liberals rally. This was not a rally, at a meeting there in Grand Bahama. A couple of cabinet ministers came to speak. I listened to them speak and I went back to my mother and said, not a possible chance.
So you never spoke at a PLP rally or convention?
Never in my life.
Okay, so I thought you had in Grand Bahama. But I just want to know, because we have some people that are moving around like a chess game. I don't know if it would
you want to belittle them, but what you have are people that's exactly what you're doing. You have people who are trying to offer themselves, and they might go to a place where they think they might have an opportunity, they don't get that opportunity, and they go someplace else. They're not party people per se. Not everyone who runs in an election for a party is a party person, bro. Then you have people who go in a place and they get mistreated or they get treated to things that they don't like, and so they leave. Let's be real. There's some people who they go where the opportunity for them is. There's some people who go there because that's the party they support, and there's some people who go and stay because people accept them and listen to them, and for people who go and leave because people don't listen to them and don't treat them well. That's reality. What's wrong with that? You've been listening to Z-Line on Chicago Live, yo. So glad you could join us. God spares life. Guess what? Tomorrow, if all goes well, we will speak with one of the Progressive Liberal Party's candidates in the next Ryan. I don't think he's ratified yet, but Ryan. We'll speak with him tomorrow. Stay tuned. Wait.